Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Girls on the run may sound like young women running away from something. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We'll explain in a few minutes. But first, we're going to focus on the St. Louis Gateway Arch. The area will observe the arch's 50th anniversary later this month. It will do so as work continues on that major project to preserve and enhance one of the nation's most iconic national monuments. We'll be talking about the project, the anniversary, and the future of the arch in this program segment. With me in studio are Maggie Hales, President and CEO of City Arch River, which is coordinating the Arch Grounds Improvements Project. Tom Bradley is Superintendent of the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. Thank you so much, Maggie and Tom, for being with us today.
Thank you, Don. It's good to be here.
Maggie, let me start with you. Are we on schedule with all that's going on downtown?
We are on schedule. The Luther Ely Smith Square, the park over the highway, is actually finishing up this week. So all the sod and the final plantings are going in. The riverfront will complete at the end of this year. Actually, we did lose a couple of months due to the flooding on the riverfront, but it will finish up before the end of the year. And then landscape improvements under the arch will finish next summer. And the museum ribbon cutting will be in the spring of 2017. Keener Plaza is going under construction in December of this year and will finish in the spring of 2017 also.
Well, you make it sound like there's a lot going on down there.
There is a lot going on.
Well, when is it all done? I mean, is there an end date for all of this?
The spring of 2017. So when the museum is finished and all the exhibits are installed, we'll be finished. Right. And we'll really celebrate then.
Tom, in the midst of all of this going on, what has that done to visitor traffic down there?
Don, visitor traffic has dropped. I think we hit our nadir in probably spring break of the spring. We had a lot of construction going on. Since then, we've really learned how to get people in and out. And in spite of construction going on, it's still a day in the life of the Park Service. We've got people coming to visit from all over the world. So we've still got to keep that going while we do construction.
How is the Park Service working with City Arch River and vice versa? I'll start with you, Tim.
Well, it's a partnership. It's sort of, we were like the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island and that foundation. It's a win-win partnership, and there's other partners involved. This is not just one, but we've got Bi-State Development, Great Rivers Greenway, Jefferson National Parks Association, the City of St. Louis. The list goes on and on. But we work collegially, and we have agreements, and we see the end. It's going to be a great new park with great new programming.
Maggie, is it a complicated relationship?
It's a complicated relationship, but as Tom said, it's not just National Park Service and City Arch River Foundation, but there are four other key sort of core partners that Tom mentioned. Great Rivers Greenway District, for example, is the entity that is the steward of the Proposition P local sales tax that was passed. And so that entity is helping. They provided almost $90 million in capital funding and will help continue with operations and maintenance. Bi-State Development sells the tickets to the tram. They market and communicate about the project. Jefferson National Parks Association, of course, operates the gift shops. So it is a complicated partnership, but all six partners are working together to make sure that we have the best possible visitor experience when we're finished.
Let's talk about the funding for a moment. Remind folks, if you would, as to how all these many millions of dollars are coming together.
Sure. So the total in capital costs for the project is about $380 million, and it's a combination of public money and private money. About $159 million was gathered and is in hand of public money. So that is federal, state, and local funding going into the project. And then $221 million is private money, and that's the money that City Arch River has been responsible for raising.
Tom, we've heard about all the things that are going on. But tell me in your words how visiting the Arch grounds is going to be a better experience for the tourist in the spring of 2017 than it was in the spring of 2014.
Sure. And Don, I had the benefit of coming here 7 years ago, and I sort of looked at this with fresh eyes, and I think some of the things people have grown used to, just jumped out at me, and I'll use the crossing from the old courthouse to the arch, negotiating your way across Memorial Drive and over the noisy, depressed lanes. All that changes with this. It's going to be a very smooth transition into the park. We did a lot of planning for this, and our driving issue is to weave the park into the city to get rid of all these barriers. And I think it's going to be a much more sustainable park, and it's going to be much, much more accessible. In the old days, you couldn't get the riverfront if you were up on top, if you were in a wheelchair. All that changes now. It's going to be a much renovated park, and it probably transformed in some ways.
No gondola to East St. Louis? No restaurants?
The gondola was a cool idea. It was, and maybe it still is going to happen someday. And the engineering is pretty straightforward, but that was probably a bridge too far for us. But as far as the food service, yes, there'll be a new food service in the arch lobby.
Parking?
Parking. We've done so much analysis. There's so much parking downtown that we think we can crack that nut so people can find close, convenient parking without the Park Service taking 11 acres of valuable parkland and having a garage.
And Maggie, of course, given the way it's being structured now, people can do a lot more walking. They can park farther away.
Well, actually, the parking garages and the parking facilities that are available that we've assembled with the help of the Convention and Visitor Commission in the City of St. Louis are as close to the new entrance, which is on the western side of the park grounds, as the former garage was to the north leg of the arch. So remember, we want to connect this park with the city, and we've done that in part by moving the entrance to the arch closer to the city.
What are our plans, if there are plans, with regard to incorporating the Metro East into this whole project? We know about the geyser. I heard on NPR this morning a British tourist called it a geezer, but we'll call the geyser. Anyway, what are plans to bring that into the mix?
Malcolm Martin Memorial Park is just a real gem. The geyser is there, but there's also a viewing platform that was put in place, I think, after the geyser was actually installed. And it's a wonderful park, just, you know, like an 11-minute walk, really, across Eads Bridge. And it is part of our long-term aspirations to bring the east side into the overall City Arch River project. But it was just more, as Tom said, more than we could do at the time, so the Missouri components are being done now. But Illinois is very much part of our aspiration.
Any kind of a timetable for whatever's going to happen there? And do you know what's going to happen there?
So we don't have a timetable yet. There was a design submitted by Michael Van Valkenburg Associates for the east side. And I would say that when we get to that, we'll probably revisit that design. Mm-hmm. Because when time passes, ideas change and the usage around transportation usage, et cetera, changes. So we'll probably revisit that. But we do have a design that might include a gondola across the river.
There's no better view of St. Louis than from over in that park, or of the arch, needless
to say. It's the best place, really, to view the fireworks.
No question about it. Tom, back to you with regard to an ongoing dilemma, I guess it could be called, and that is the stains. What's the situation with regard to getting that cleaned up?
Well, the news is good. We've done an extensive analysis, both from inside the arch, taking samples, and then also last October putting people out that access the arch from industrial rope access, which is akin to rappelling. And it's benign. The stains are benign. We think it's air pollution. As far as cleaning it, it's probably something we can do down the road. It's not something that needs to be done right away. And anytime you do mess with your arch, you want to be careful you don't cause more damage than you solve. So simple things like scaffolding may not be the way to go. And at 630 feet, it's higher than most cranes, so we got to think this through carefully. But the news is good. The arch will be there for many, many decades and centuries to come.
Well, I know there were some practice sessions a while back, and you had some folks rappelling down the side of the arch.
They did rappel down, and they also had GoPro cameras, so it's pretty cool. But they took samples, and again, it's pretty benign what's happened out there.
We want to talk about some of the events that are going to be associated with the 50th anniversary. That's one of the reasons we're here. But one other aspect of the arch grounds themselves that people have wondered about are the trees. The ash borer problem that was mentioned months ago. What's the situation with the trees on the grounds?
Well, we knew the Rose Hill ash borer, emerald ash borer was coming, and because we had 800 Rose Hill ash trees, we were forewarned. We did an extensive analysis, engaged with a lot of experts here in Missouri, and with our environmental assessment accomplished when City Arch River came on the scene and landscaping was part of the plan, we were ready to go with a new tree, and that's a London plane tree. And then keep in mind, this is just one tree of many species we have in the park grounds. There's close to 2,000 trees on the grounds.
Right. Well, it's going to be spectacular, and it's not going to be too long before we get to that point. We're talking about the restoration and renovation of the Arch grounds with Maggie Hales, who is president and CEO of City Arch River, and with Tom Bradley, who's superintendent of the Arch grounds down there. We'll take a break now. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our conversation on what's going on down at the Arch grounds right now. We're approaching the 50th anniversary of that iconic monument. With me in studio, Maggie Hales, president and CEO of City Arch River, which is coordinating the Arch grounds improvements project. Tom Bradley is superintendent of Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. Tom, an announcement within the last couple of weeks that Fair St. Louis is going to be held in Forest Park again this year. That's not unexpected, given the fact that there's a lot of work still going on. But do you think Fair St. Louis is ever going to go back to the Arch grounds?
Well, we ask ourselves that question, and I'm sure they're asking themselves. They're certainly welcome back once we're done with construction. We're going to try to take really good care of the grounds coming ahead, so we have a turf management plan that big events will follow. But as far as we know, they're coming back, Don.
What do you know about this, Maggie?
The same thing Tom does. I will say also that the designers met with Fair St. Louis managers when we were in design to make sure that we did things that would make it better in terms of utilities and water availability. And so we did check that out to make sure that they could come back and it would be a better place for it to be.
Well, time will tell. I guess
yes.
That's where we are in that. Are there numbers out there, Maggie, with regard to what the economic benefits of this landmark are to the community?
Yes, there are. So we expect with this project to bring visitor levels back up to where they were 10 or 15 years ago. So the Arch, not unlike other national park sites and other visitor attractions around the country, had lost some visitors. And we think that this Arch grounds had lost visitors also because it was severed from the city and the museum hadn't changed in years and years. So we want to bring visitors back up to about 3 million a year. We also want to keep those visitors for an extra half day. And if we do that, we will have the economic equivalent of one additional Cardinals baseball season each year by bringing those visitors, who are 4 out of 5 of those visitors are from out of town. So it's new money coming in.
So the number of visitors would be just about the same as a Cardinal baseball season.
That's about right, yes.
What does that mean in dollars, do we know?
So I actually don't have the dollars off the top of my head.
Yeah. Tom, any problem accommodating 3 million under the new setup?
Oh, not at all, Don. And we're really looking for a much more vital visit, people that want to come, and not only come once when their Uncle Fred's in town, but come repeatedly during the year. That's going to be one of our goals, is to attract people from the region to come back with fresh offerings, vibrant programming.
Let's talk about a couple of the amenities, if I can put it that way, the attractions at the Arch. I'll start with you, Tom, with the trams. Now, there's a lot of work being done on the trams, correct?
That's right. People don't know it because it's a very mechanical system put in the 60s. But we retrofitted a lot of high-tech equipment to make them very reliable, and when anything goes wrong, we can immediately diagnose the problem. So that's happening. And also the motor generator sets are going to be replaced soon, or at least in a couple years, to a more efficient AC design, more reliable and more energy saving.
How long do you think it would be before we have to go through this again with regard to fixing and upgrading the mechanical things like the trams?
Well, we've done this all along, and I don't see anything else happening after this. One of the things we're want to do is some sort of a new experience down in the lobby after everything here is done, and that one of the theaters to retrofit that for an alternative experience for those people that can't or don't want to ride the cramped tram car to the top.
Well, I'm going to open the lines now. If there are folks in the audience who have questions with regard to what's going on downtown, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or you can send us a tweet at STL on air. Now, Maggie Hales, back to you, because I know one of the things that you're most excited about with regard to what's going on is the museum. Tell us how that's going to be different and better.
We are really excited about the museum. So the current – or the museum that was there 6 months ago, Museum of Westward Expansion, when it was installed, was really state-of-the-art. And we were very proud of that museum. What we have found, though, is that in the 21st century, museums now are much more interactive. So the new museum is going to be brighter, fresher, lots of media, lots of learning, lots of layers, more accessible, really exciting for people of all ages.
Can you break that down a little bit as to what kind of interactive things we'll be looking at?
You bet, sure. So, for example, there will be a whole area of the museum, about one-sixth of it, devoted entirely to Eero Saarinen and Dan Kiley, the landscape architect's design. And you'll be able to go in and see video and replicas of the design studio and all the various proposals that Eero Saarinen competed with to come in. In addition, the museum is really, they're taking what's called an expressive approach. So when you visit the museum, you're not going to be taught so much as you are going to be asked to engage and ask your own questions. Manifest destiny, how the West was won, but from another perspective, the West was stolen. So these kinds of discussions will be part of the museum in all of the various areas.
That's getting into an area of some controversy, I think, when you talk about how the West was stolen, isn't it? Well,
you know,
good.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, I know when my kids went to school, they learned history differently than when I went to school. And so I think for a lot of children these days, this is not new or unusual. They are more and more being taught about different ways of looking at things. And this museum will do the same thing.
Tom, you were nodded when I brought up that idea of really acknowledging what happened in our history here, that that's an important thing to do.
No, it really is. And we know so much more now than we did when the existing museum was laid out 40 years ago. So we're going to tell a much more rich, nuanced story with not just the white guys going west, but it's, as Maggie said, it's going to be a cool story. Also, let me just say, I had the good fortune of being in Wyoming in August when part of this was being filmed about the Mormon handcarts. And it's just dramatic. I mean, this is going to be probably the finest museum about the American West, I think, when it opens.
I just finished a book, and we had a guest on the program talking about the Oregon Trail and the first days of it. And it is so fascinating to learn some of that history, a lot of which people are not taught anymore, don't know much about. Let's take a call. We have Mary in Florissant wants to get into the conversation. We'll bring in Mary, and then we'll talk about what's going to be happening next week. Mary, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a question about why the London plane tree was chosen. In my opinion, it's one of the ugliest trees, and it sheds a little balls. And it makes it sound like I'm old, but and I am. But I thought the museum was a really cool place. I hate to see it become a bunch of push-button exhibits where kids run through and push the buttons and listen. My father went to your museum when he was in his 70s, and he really enjoyed it, and he liked the movie that showed how it was built, and I hope you're not going to take that away.
Let's find out, Mary. Thank you for the call. Who wants to take on Mary's question?
I can take a start. I'll start on the trees. The trees, as you rightfully say, was a very controversial process. We actually looked at about 600 different species and cultivars. We had a very extensive matrix. And again, we didn't do this in a vacuum. There were a lot of local people involved with this decision, but the London plane tree won out. And as I told Don, that's one of many species we have at the park grounds, most of which are native species. Mm-hmm. But I'll let Maggie answer them.
Sure. On the museum, I would say reserve judgment until you see it. A lot of us loved that old museum. It was really great. And those same stories will be told, but there will be much added to it. And it is going to be much more than just push buttons. There are six different story areas telling a variety of stories about the West. So come see it when it opens, and then come talk to us.
Who does museum design?
So this is a specialty among designers, and we have on board Haley Sharp Design, which has done many, many other museums around the world, including National Park Service Museum. I think Jamestown is one that they did.
Fort McHenry,
the Harriet Tubman exhibit. So they're very skilled and scholarly and work closely with the park historian here, Bob Moore, to make sure that everything that's done is absolutely historically accurate. It's going to be a very rich, rich experience, I think.
In the few minutes that we have left, let's talk a bit about what's going to be happening with regard to the 50th anniversary. Let's start with you, Tom. It begins on Saturday, is that correct?
Yes, actually probably let Maggie start with Saturday, and I can talk about the following Wednesday.
All right, let's
do
it
that
way.
So there are three major events going on, and on Saturday, October 24th, is a family festival at Keener Plaza all day, 10:30 to 8, with fireworks afterward at 8 o'clock. Lots of music, lots of fun things for kids to do, food, etc. So everyone should come down. It starts at 10:30 in the morning.
All right, all day long.
All day long.
Right. And Tom,
and then the following Wednesday, Don, is October 28th is the actual 50th anniversary. We'll have a event at what's Luther Eli Smith Square. A lot of luminaries will be there, and it's a more formal event, but we're looking forward to Mayor Slay participating.
And cupcakes.
And cupcakes. And where is this? Luther Ely Smith Park, did you say?
Yes, across from the old courthouse.
How many people would you expect down for that?
It's a Wednesday morning, Don. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to have the road closed so we can take advantage of the location.
This has been getting a lot of attention. There was a big article in the Wall Street Journal that I saw online this morning, which is very nice. You want that too. We have time for one more very quick call. Dennis in Overland. I mean, very quick, Dennis. Go ahead, please.
Okay, yeah, I was just, when you were talking about Fair St. Louis, I was just thinking that it might be good for both venues to have maybe take turns and let the grounds recover and the people that do the job hit both of those venues. Just a thought, and thanks for everything.
All right, well, there's an idea, and maybe even have a piece of the Fair St. Louis downtown and in Forest Park.
I've heard talk about that. I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Okay, about a minute and a half left. One of the things that I find really neat is the website, in which your webcam gives us a daily look at what's going on down there. That's pretty neat. Go ahead, Maggie, talk about that.
Well, we do have a webcam. We have actually more than one. We have three or four looking at the site. The best view, I think, is at the top of the Hyatt Hotel, looking down on the arch, and it's got a panoramic view. So photographs are taken every hour, actually, and we've got some videos where we've knitted those together so you can see a time-lapse look. But you can go online right now and see real-time construction happening.
And that's an important website for other things, too, because it can give you all the details of the kinds of things that we've been talking about here and maybe didn't
exactly
get to.
Samples of renderings and pictures of what the exhibits will be like, et cetera.
Tom, do you have any problem with those cameras eavesdropping on what's going on down there?
No, actually, it's a highly monitored park, if you don't realize that already. So, no, that's great.
That just springs to mind, again, we have 30 seconds left, security when this whole thing opens. And in this day and age, is that going to be an issue? Very quickly, Maggie?
Well, the National Park Service, as Tom said, has a very robust security process in place, and a lot of people don't realize that they've got all the rangers and they actually have cameras, et cetera. So we are not concerned about that. All the partners are working together to make sure it's a secure and safe place to visit.
I want to thank you both so much for being with us, Maggie Hales and Tom Bradley. Thank you. We're looking forward to all that's going to be happening next week and in the next months. Coming up, Girls on the Run with a woman who's been running running for half a century. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.